This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by the PTAdvantage.com, an online personal training solution to help trainers save time and make more money. It is hands down the best resource I've found out there for trainers and coaches to train people online. Check them out at the PTAdvantage.com. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 277. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and before we get into this week's show, I just want to give you a quick heads up that I was able to convince the guys at examine.com to extend the discount of the supplement reference guide for the FitCast audience. This guide is invaluable. If you want to know what you should be picking up and really what is backed by research and, you know, what is just kind of marketing hype, it is invaluable. Like, these guys don't take any affiliate commission or anything like that. They have really no bias when it comes to this stuff. So, I mean, to be honest, those are the guys that I trust. So if I ever have questions from like athletes or clients, I usually use that guy as a reference to say, yeah, and look, and here is backed by research, and, you know, it's been proven to do what it's supposed to do. If you go to thefitcast.com and you go to the show notes, you can actually still get 25% off that guide. This is exclusive for the FitCast audience. And by doing so, you also help support the show. So you can check that out there. But without further ado, we'll get into the interview with Kelly. I should say that you only have until, I believe it's midday Wednesday, to pick this up. So you have about 48 hours from right now. So head over to thefitcast.com, go to the show notes for episode 277, and click on the link in there to get that 25% discount and check out the guide. Like, it's a money back guarantee, and I think you're nuts if you don't think there's $30 worth of awesome information in there. It is well worth the price of admission. So thanks as always for listening. Here is the interview with Kelly. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to be joined this week by Kelly Hart Davis. Kelly, how you doing?
Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Obviously, if you don't know Kelly, I'm going to have her give a brief intro, but you can check out her sites at motherfitness.com, and she's also doing a lot of stuff at getglutes.com as well. So, Kelly, for people that might not have checked out some of your stuff before, I did send out a brief intro in our newsletter, but people will probably remember you from when I had Brett on to talk about Strong Curves, the book that you guys put together. But you have a really interesting background and interesting history into the fitness world. I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of a breakdown of that journey.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. It was sort of an unexpected transition, which worked out incredibly well for me. I was a middle school teacher and a mom, and I had sort of let everything else in my life take over, and I stopped taking care of myself, and I was just at the standing point. My second child was about 2.5, and I just reflected inwardly and said, you know, you deserve better than this. And I would flip through fitness magazines and see all these women who were in great shape, and, you know, they were moms too. And it sort of clicked in my head, like, okay, if they can do this, you can do this. And that's when I finally stepped foot into the gym after, gosh, not going for 5 years. And I was always super athletic and in shape up until I had my kids. So I had put on a considerable amount of weight, and I was uncomfortable. And over the course of time, I started competing figure, and I hired Brett as my coach. And, he and I we clicked really well, and he was giving me a lot of advice and insight to fitness. I was giving him advice and insight into writing and managing his blog. And, we just learned that our skills meshed really well together. And he encouraged me, you know, to sort of get into fitness because after moving to Arizona, I stopped teaching. So that's sort of where my whole career began. And I started Mother Fitness, and eventually I started writing for other sites and coaching, and we penned the book together, and the rest is history.
So we talked a little bit off the air about your audience, a very dedicated audience that sent a ton of questions, and we're going to do our best to get through as much as we can. And I guess the the plan is, if you know, we do have a lot of stuff to follow up on or to hit on afterwards, we can always do a follow-up episode for you guys out there. But like I said, we're going to do our best to get through as many of these as we can. And Kelly, I hope you have a glass of water or something like that, because we're going to be hitting on a lot of different stuff here. So
I'm all set.
Good. So let's go to the first question or topic. And to be honest, we got a couple of questions that kind of hit on this subject. So I put them, bunched them together a little bit. And this is an interesting topic that a lot of people are trying to address in the industry. But so anyways, we got some questions about willpower and emotional eating. What advice can you give to people battling this issue?
This is something I struggle with in the past as well. And, you know, I see a lot of women in my family deal with this, as well as friends and clients. And what I've learned is the more regulated your diet is, the easier it is to control emotional eating. And I find a lot with my clients who tend to be emotional eaters, or they tend to be erratic eaters and then overeat, you know, so they don't eat all day and then they overeat at the end of the day, or, you know, they eat the wrong things because they're so stressed out and so hungry, is that once you get on a regular eating cycle and you get your circadian rhythm going in, you know, it's nice and even and your body knows what to expect and when it's going to have energy and how it's going to expend it, then that helps you control emotional eating a lot better. And case in point, I used to be a terrible sugar addict, and I would go to the grocery store, you know, and I'd buy like a box. And this is when I was in fitness and I was, you know, thin and in shape. And this was only a couple of years ago. I would go to the bakery and buy a dozen cookies and try to eat as many as I could before I got home, because I didn't want anybody to know that I had the cookies and that I was eating them. And it was just a terrible cycle. I would do this like probably twice a month, or, you know, I wouldn't eat all day and then I'd just binge on sugar. And so I learned that, you know, there's all this controversy about, should I eat breakfast? Shouldn't I eat breakfast? Is breakfast good? Is it bad? When you start eating on a schedule every single day, your body knows what to expect and how to regulate your food cycle. So that helps tremendously. Another thing that helps is that you find other ways to soothe those emotions. So a lot of times when you're stressed or you're eating because you're upset, a lot of people who do this are people pleasers. So perhaps they're feeling they let somebody down, or, you know, they didn't fulfill an obligation or something like that. So you find another way to meet that emotional need. And a lot of times you'll find that in your friendships. If you pick up the phone and talk to somebody, if you have like a walking partner or, you know, just a companion to help you get through those emotional times, that really helps as well. So just finding another way to expend that energy, because emotions are energy. It's sort of an energy that builds up inside of you. If you find another way to expend that energy, then that'll help you sort of step away from the food.
And that's really interesting, because again, that's one of those things that people have been battling with. There's a certain subset that says, you know, you're crazy if you're not using intermittent fasting to maximize your potential fat loss and body composition goals and all this stuff. But I think like Brad Pilon has done a great job saying, like, yeah, this isn't for everybody. You know, maybe if you, you know, have trouble controlling eating and binging and stuff like that, not eating for 24 hours might put you in a really bad spot. So that's I think you gave some awesome tips. Like, that is some really good stuff. And I hope people are got the pen and paper out to take some notes, because I think that's the thing that we're still trying to really figure out in this industry, is how to deal with that section. I think people are getting really good at getting in shape. You know, we're going to talk about lifting in a little bit, and I think you and Brett have done a great job helping women get in great shape. But I still think the emotional side of things is still where we're trying to figure out that formula. We've got another question that wanted to hear your thoughts on deciding on an exercise routine. I feel personally that I either overdo it or I underdo it. I don't know how to find that balance. And then you throw in life and work and what does my body really need? So I guess in general, you know, how do you like to, you know, go about programming and, you know, starting to put together someone's program to make sure it's just dialed in right?
I think the most important factor here is to make sure that fitness fits into your life. So never rearrange your entire life to be fit. Never drop something, you know, because it doesn't fit into your gym schedule, or stress out about making to the gym on XYZ day at XYZ time, because it, you know, it takes the enjoyment out of what you're doing. Whenever I do a client intake, I really look at who the person is. And I do primarily work with mothers who have careers. So, you know, a lot of women who are like me and very empathetic toward their life, is you find ways to make the most use of their time. And a lot of that has to do with your program design. And it's funny, I'll give a program out to somebody, they'll come over and, you know, they have 45 minutes to train with me. And I put them through a cycle of training and they're like, oh yeah, that was great. You know, I feel really good. I feel like I worked hard, but I'm not overly exhausted. I can go home and shower and go to work and take care of my kids. And then they'll call me like 2 days later. They're like, what did we just do? I can't sit down, you know? So, it's all about using their time efficiently. And a lot of that has to do with how you program your workouts. So choosing those exercises that expend the most energy and use the most amount of muscle in the least amount of time. And you'll notice when you read Strong Curves, that's a lot of the philosophy that we use in that program as well. It's a very simple idea. You're not cramming a lot of complex exercises, and you know, you're not doing like 12 different exercises in a circuit. It's just taking those exercises that you know is going to use all the big muscles and really tax the body without taking too much time.
So let's continue on this topic. You know, people obviously are going to be asking lots of questions about glute training, you know, obviously with the book and all, and things like barbell hip lifts and, you know, deadlifting have become more and more popular with both, you know, females and males. And guys, seriously, out there, if you're walking around with like, I think that would they call it flat butt or something like that?
You know, pancake butt.
Yeah, I think that's like the next thing that people are really talking about, that guys, you know, women aren't really looking for, you know, huge arms or making sure that you, you know, look like when you're wearing a pair of pants, it doesn't just look like it's on a cardboard cutout. So talking about when training glutes, like how often do you like to program, you know, really extensive glute training into the program? Like I said, barbell, hip lifts and hip thrusts, things like glute ham raises, the really intense exercises, how do you like to program those? And also like, what's your process in terms of progressing them?
Every time I see a client, she's training her glutes. You know, if she comes in twice a week, she's training her glutes. If she's training five times a week, she's training her glutes. And it's just a matter of fitting these glute exercises into the workout. So depending on how much time they have, say somebody has 4 days a week to train. Well, they can do hip thrusts and glute bridges with a barbell in two of those workouts. And then perhaps, you know, something body weight in another workout. A lot of band work with, you know, abduction work is always really good to have and program in at least twice a week. And then you have all of your other movements that are really effective. But I always try to get in glute bridges, hip thrust, and some type of band abduction work, whether it's a monster band walk, a seated band abduction, a standing band abduction. Because I find if you only have 10 minutes to train, these are the two types of exercises you should be doing to maximize how you build your glutes. As far as everything else, it depends on the client. You know, I have a lot of clients who are new to strength training, so we don't start out with loaded deadlifts and squats. We do a lot of body weight work just to sort of build them up and help with their form. And you also sort of take a look at their goals as well. So if you're training women, you know, if they're deadlifting week after week all year long, they're going to start developing muscle that they might not necessarily want. Deadlifts are helpful and effective, but if she's going for physique goals, you know, you might want to sort of taper back on certain exercises. But I will say hip thrusts and abduction work, nobody's ever going to complain about doing too much of that.
You know, again, on the same topic, but just flipping it a little bit, what are the main areas that you address when it comes to upper body strength in women and building, you know, a proper physique and the kind of like, to be honest, you know, what are women generally looking for with the upper body? Do you have a lot of women that are just saying like, yeah, I want to look this specific way? And then how do you go about getting them there?
Yeah, most of the women that come to me, you know, I do train figure and bikini girls and girls who are looking for a more athletic build. But in general, most of the women that come to me, you know, they just want to trim down and get stronger so, you know, that their lives are easier. It's, you know, they can carry the groceries or they can pick up the kids or they don't have a backache after a long day at work. So when it comes to upper body, I primarily hear, you know, I want my arms to look better and I want my waist to be trimmer. And that's, and a lot of women will find that once you start doing these compound exercises like squats and deadlifts and hip thrusts and push-ups, then everything starts to change. And it's kind of funny how women see themselves. My client Karen, she had twins and, you know, she carried a lot of weight in her middle, because of this. And she had been working with me for about 5 weeks. And I could really tell that Karen was, you know, she was trimming down a lot and getting more toned and people were complimenting her. And I said something to her one day and she's like, oh yeah. She's like, well, you know, I don't know. I've lost 8 pounds, but I don't really feel like anything's happening. And I'm thinking, wow, like it takes so much, you know, they have such great expectations on how they want to look and what they want to achieve that they don't even recognize how far they've come. So a lot of what we program into Strong Curves, even though you're not doing direct upper body work, it's really helping you build the physique you want. And you have to appreciate that about yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back every once in a while.
No, for sure. It kind of seems like, you know, if people are doing the big multi-joint exercises, a lot of the other stuff is going to fall into place as well. So we had another question talking about training. I train my glutes 3 times per week with the Strong Curves program. By the way, great program. I also work at a desk all day. I saw your document on waking up sleepy glutes at work. I'm wondering if these are okay to perform on glute training days as I am unsure if I should do them or not. Will it slow my progress as I am not resting or is sitting for 7 hours straight on a glute day worse? So could you talk a little bit about that sleepy glutes document for people that aren't unsure or that are unsure about what it is and then answer the question.
Sure. So if you go to getglutes.com and you stay on the main page and scroll down, you'll see some suggested videos and readings, you know, to help prompt you toward building better glutes. And one of them that I made was sort of this infographic that gave you ideas on desk exercises to do, you know, in the office. And it's kind of funny. If you work in a cubicle, it might be a little uncomfortable, but and they were all body weight exercises, and you can do these, you know, depending on how long your work day is, you can do these a couple of times a day, every, you know, 5 days a week and be totally fine. The great thing about the glutes, especially, you know, when you're doing the exercises that we suggest, you're taxing the glutes, but it's really, really hard to overtax the glutes. And a lot of times when people complain of overly sore glutes, it's from doing things like lunges and squats versus doing hip thrusts and hip hinges and abduction and things like that. So when you're doing lunges, you're actually putting the most load on your glutes in a stretch position And people find that this creates the most soreness. Whereas when you're doing a bridge, you're putting the most stress on your glutes in a contracted position. And though you'll get a really great glute burn, you're probably going to feel pretty good the next day. You'll be a little bit sore, but not the same type of soreness as doing lunges and squats. It's just a different type of stress on the glutes. So that being said, what I suggest in that document, you can do every single day and still successfully train your glutes because you won't be overly taxing your glutes by doing both. And I recommend, honestly, if you're sitting at a desk all day, you can do the sleepy glutes training every single day. You can grab a couple of those exercises and throw them into your work day. But just keeping those glutes active and moving will definitely improve your glute training in the gym.
Let's also talk a little bit about, cardiovascular training, because, again, this is one of those hot topics that people are debating, you know, whether high-intensity intervals are the right way to go. Maybe there's still some room for some steady state work. Should we be sprinting? Should we be jogging? Should we be on a bike? And we did get one question about this, but asking basically, you know, is it better to do a power walk than go running when it comes to fat loss? They want to know if you know, you think that is the case, or really in general, what do you like to prescribe for cardiovascular work? And I apologize, it's like trucks going by my house right now for some apparent reason.
Oh, that's okay. I always get interrupted by a barking dog, so it's totally fine. I tell every single one of my clients, do what you enjoy. That is the one thing about exercise in general, is that you need to find something that you enjoy and that you're going to stick with. And I have clients who tell me, honestly, straight up, I do not like weightlifting. I love what it's doing to my body. I am staying with you because my body looks awesome, but I hate weightlifting. And I'm totally cool with that. I don't expect everyone to love it. But I think when it comes to showing up every day and being diligent about the work that you're doing to help improve your health, you have to really enjoy what you're doing. So the argument whether power walking is better than running, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you're going to burn twice as many calories when you run as you do when you walk. So you're either going to have to do twice as long of a workout walking to get the same benefits, or you know, there's always that trade-off. However, in turn, you're more prone to, injury if you're running because it's a lot higher impact. So I think a lot of that has to do, you know, with your conditioning level and how fit you are, what you choose to do. But I always say just do what you love. And it doesn't have to be walking or running. It could be riding your bike. It could be swimming, hiking, taking a class at the gym. Just find something that you truly love and stick with it.
What's your take on developing, circuit training and stuff like that, like putting together a group of exercises and using that in place of cardio? Have you messed around with anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times I will, I'll give my clients programs like that. So my clients that come and train with me at my house, usually the last day of the week, we'll do something like that where it's more of a conditioning circuit versus a strength training session. And I really think it's effective because you're just, with the compound exercises, you're doing a lot of work in a shorter amount of time and you're really taxing your system. And I think as well, it's more mind stimulating. A lot of people don't like running because it's mundane. Whereas these conditioning circuits, like you're constantly changing what you're doing and your body is, having to rethink and rebalance and you get to take breaks and then go intensely and it just makes it more interesting. But again, you have to factor in how good a shape you are in and really gauge what you're capable of doing to avoid hurting yourself.
So we were talking a little bit before the show about your crazy schedule. again, you're obviously doing tons of work with clients and you're going back to school right now and getting your master's. You're got obviously, you know, family things. How do you stay organized? How do you make sure, really, we got a question about, you know, how do you make sure that you can still fit in time for your workouts? Like, do you break them up throughout the day, or, you know, how do you, you know, squeeze in everything?
Very carefully. I, like, honestly, the thing that helps me most is that just throw out all the rules, you know, so I don't have a set time that I train. I don't have a set program that I follow, because if I do that, I can't get it out of my head. And I feel disappointed if I, you know, if I miss a workout or if I don't finish a program because I'm interrupted. So I just kind of fly by the seat of my pants when it comes to training. Fortunately for me, I have a really awesome gym at home. And sometimes it might be, oh, you know, I've got like 20 minutes before I have to do this other thing. I'm going to go into the gym and I'll probably get in like 3 sets of 2 exercises and I'm golden. Right now I'm doing a lot more cardio than weightlifting because my dogs require it. I still haven't figured out how to get my dogs to lift weights with me. So, you know, a lot of bike riding and running just because they need to exercise. But erratic is okay. I think erratic is okay. If you're busy, you just do what you can to fit in your workouts. And if it means doing a 10-minute body weight workout before you go to work, or, you know, just meeting up with a friend to walk around the neighborhood at the end of the day, then do it. Don't freak out that you're not, you know, following strong curves to the letter because you don't have time, or, you know, you're not showing up to your Zumba class 3 times a week because you don't have time. Just do what you can and make it work for you.
That's a great point. I have to ask you, since you mentioned it, what do you have in that home gym?
Oh, it's growing all the time. I stalk Craigslist. It's really bad. I have kettlebells from, let me think, from 16 pounds to 70 pounds. I have a dumbbell rack from 10 pounds to 50 pounds. I have 2 barbells with bumper plates, probably like 600 pounds worth of weight. I have a power rack, a TRX, lots of bands, a bench, a Roman chair, a prowler. I can't even think of what else I have. Medicine balls. It's monstrous. Ankle weights. I don't know. It's a bad obsession of mine.
Well, you brought up a good, you know, point, and I've talked about it on the show in the past, but so many times people are trying to get rid of equipment and even things like power racks and, you know, power bumper plates and things like that. If you look on Craigslist, people are just trying to, you know, get the space back in their house.
Yes. That's
also, you know, when I forayed in collecting arcade machines a while back, that's another, you know, reason why they're so cheap, is because they just take up so much room and they're so heavy. But any tips on, you know, I don't want, not if they're in Kelly's area, but if you live outside of Kelly's area, you know, how could people look, you know, any tips for, you know, finding, you know, good deals on used equipment and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just keep your eye out, you know, pay attention to the garage sales. A lot of times when people have garage sales, they'll advertise in the local paper and they'll list what they have, or they're advertised on Craigslist. Stock Craigslist. I always, you know, if I'm looking for something, like I really wanted dumbbells, I was checking it out like every 2 weeks. And then once you find something that you want, don't be afraid to haggle. Don't be afraid to lowball, because these people, typically they're, you know, their wives are nagging them that they need space, or that, you know, they're going to have a baby and they need the room, or they're moving and they don't want to have to pay, because exercise equipment costs a lot of money to move. So even though they set a price, you can always haggle them down. For instance, the dumbbell set that I just got, it's really nice. It's like the fixed hex weights. So, you know, they don't come loose. It's all one solid piece in really good condition. The guy wanted 450, and I think I talked him down to 300, and he was like, yes, come get it right now. So, you know, don't be afraid to talk people down, because they really just want to get rid of it.
Perfect. Very cool. Let's go to next question. I'd like to know how your fitness goals have changed as you meet goals or need to adjust your training around other demands, and how you choose new goals to work towards and keep yourself motivated. What are the goals you have for yourself now?
Just making it through the day. yeah, absolutely. My goals have changed a lot over time. So, you know, in the beginning, I wanted to lose fat and, you know, not run out of breath when I ran up the stairs at work. And over time, I was like, wow, I'm really getting into this and I want to be a figure competitor. And I did that for a few years. And then I was like, okay, that's done with. I don't want to look like this anymore. You know, I didn't want to carry that much muscle. So I toned down, and then I was really into like lifting heavy and I wanted to be a power lifter. And now it's just like maintaining. So you have to be aware of how your body responds to exercise and really be in tuned as to how your exercising affects how you look and feel. For instance, for me, if I'm doing heavy deadlifts every single week, week in and week out, my waist is getting a lot thicker and, you know, it's not necessarily something I want. So I'm in tune with, you know, this exercise is going to do this to my body, or, you know, not doing this will make my butt get fat and not round, you know? So, it's just really being in tune with your goals and how to match your exercise to it. If you don't want to get big and muscular, then don't, you know, do heavy pulls week in and week out. If you want to lose fat, you know, then you really have to be on par with your diet. So you can definitely make adjustments, and you don't always have to strive towards the same goals all the time. You just have to understand how your body responds to different stimuli and make those adjustments. Whoa. And this actually, reminded me of a question that I got on Facebook where, this woman had been doing CrossFit for quite some time, you know, not consistently, but enough to where she started getting really bulky, and she ended up injuring herself and she didn't go for a month. And then she started, you know, well, now I'm putting on all these layers of fat over all my bulkiness, and I'm totally out of sorts. I don't like how I look. So, you know, we had this big talk about, well, yes, if you're lifting CrossFit, you know, for 2 years straight, you are going to put on muscle. It's unavoidable. I mean, you're lifting like an Olympic athlete. You're going to look like an Olympic athlete. So we talked about how to maintain that balance. Well, what do you really enjoy about exercise? What did you do in the past that you want to bring back in? And we came up with the structure where she's going to keep strength training once a week, and then she's going to get back into yoga because she loves that, and she's going to get back into tennis because she loves that. And that's a way to help her achieve the body she wants and to do the activities that she loves. So that's always really important too. I can never give up weightlifting. I love it too much, but I have to taper back on it in order to get the look that I want.
Well, I think you. There's never too many times where we can hit on this. It's just, you know, reminder, guys, make sure that you're doing something that you enjoy doing. Like, you can listen to as many interviews as you want. You can read as many books as you want. If you're not going to actually, you know, do some, you know, work, or whether it's lifting, or, you know, I swear there's sometimes where I go like, you know, 8 days, 9 days at a time where I'm just like, my exercise is the Airdyne bike, just because, you know, I just don't feel like lifting, or I might do some chin-ups, yes, as I'm walking through the house or something like that. But, you know, the important thing is just to make sure that you continue to move, you continue to do something, and, you know, find what motivates you, whether it is, you know, a competition, or, you know, just the great feeling that you have. I'm telling you jump on an Airdyne bike and you do a 5 mile ride, you're going to be tired, but you're going to feel great.
Yeah. That's a really valid point. And I, you know, I have clients who, especially my older client, my clients who are, you know, in their late 40s through their 60s, they can only take so much, you know, and they feel pretty beat up. And so they'll just tell me, hey, look, I have an aversion to heavy lifting right now. I can't do it. and they're really hard on themselves, and, you know, but they're turned off by it. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you feel like doing now? We'll structure a program on how your body is feeling and what mentally you know that you can handle right now. And, you know, we'll cut back to doing like body weight circuits or, you know, light lifting or something. And it changes everything. So if ever you're in a program and you feel completely frustrated and you just don't want to show up every day, or, you know, you're practically crying through your workout, then stop doing it. Find something else that you know you want to do at that time. And like you said, just keep moving. It doesn't matter what you do. And you can always return to whatever it is you were doing that you sort of got turned off from at the time.
Totally. I think that's the perfect place to wrap up. You know, again, for people out there, absolutely, I recommend going to firstmotherfitness.com and check out Kelly's website there. You know, we talked a little bit off the air. Since going back to school and getting your master's, you haven't had as much time to continue writing with all the other craziness coming up with the holidays. And I'm sure Halloween was a lot of fun last week.
Yeah, I know. We had like 4-H Halloween parties and football parties, man. and trick-or-treating. So I was running around like crazy. We had family in town, and yeah, I just, I don't know. I need to somehow learn how to just tune out the rest of the world and focus on one thing at a time, but I'm not very good at that.
It's impossible. Trust me. And then you can also head over to getglutes.com. And if you want to follow her on Twitter, the Twitter, just so I don't mess it up again, is at Kelly Hart Davis.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Kelly, it's from the sounds of it, I think we're going to have you back, pretty soon, you know, from the reaction of the audience when I announced that you were coming on the show. So we will just do a to be continued. But in the meantime, is there anything that people should keep an eye out for in terms of, you know, content on getglutes.com or on your website or anything like that?
Yeah, well, hopefully as the semester winds down, I'll be writing a little more prolifically. I do have an exciting article coming out in Women's Health that Jen Sinkler so graciously asked me to help her with. And it's just super exciting because it's going to feature a lot of, you know, actual like heavy barbell lifts and real weightlifting for women. It's a 6-month program. It's going to be in Women's Health in December. So look out for that. Get Glutes is flourishing. It's a fantastic community. We've always got great content going up on there as well. And I just look forward to getting back into writing over winter break, and hopefully I'll have some new stuff out for you guys.
Very cool. That's where we're going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. Again, don't forget to check out Kelly's websites. And if you could, go to iTunes, subscribe to the FitCast on there. You can follow me at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee. And I think that's it. Until next time, thanks as always for downloading and listening to the show. Keep on the website for announcements of new guests, and same thing on Twitter and Facebook. That's where I'm posting that stuff, so you can get in your questions as well. So, Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time today, and we'll definitely be talking to you down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Kevin.